Hello and welcome to Gilmore Ball Z, a podcast where I show my husband Gilmore Girls, he shows me Dragon Ball, and we try to find some sort of common ground. And I'm Paige.
And I'm Grant.
This week we watched Season 3, Episode 7 of Gilmore Girls, and Episode 60 of Dragon Ball Z Kai. So Grant, what happened this week on Gilmore Girls?
Oh, a lot happened this week. Actually, not all that much happened this week on Gilmore Girls, but it was juicy. So this week on Gilmore Girls, it was what I understand is the somewhat fabled Dance Marathon episode.
The Dance Marathon episode!
Yeah, this seems to be a favorite. More than one person has asked me if we've gotten to it yet. So, and I can, now that I've seen the episode, I can see why. So basically, for those of you who are unaware, a Dance Marathon... Yes, Paige?
Is it a marathon where you dance?
Basically. It's kind of like those, like, hold your pee for a wee contests that you know, they did.
Or hands on a hard body, which is much less dirty than it sounds like.
Yeah, oh, that's where you have to keep your hand on a car, right?
On a truck.
On a truck, yeah. And then the last person. Yeah. So Stars Hollow does this every year where they pair off, and it's for charity. And whoever, you know, it's the partners have to stay touching and stay moving for the full 24 hours. And if at any point they stop moving or stop touching, then they're out, and the last couple standing wins a trophy. And I'm guessing those, like, the entrance fees or whatever all go to charity.
Yep.
So this year they're raising, they've been raising money for a bridge, now they have money for a bridge, so they're raising money for a tarp for the bridge. Very important cause. Apparently Kirk wins every year, and Lorelai is tired of seeing his smug face whenever he wins, and she's determined to get the perfect partner. And she finds somebody who, but then he drops out and blah, blah, blah. Basically, she ends up roping Rory into being her partner. Lorelai and Rory are doing this dance marathon together now as, you know, mother-daughter gimmicky thing. So they get there and, Dean comes along to just watch and be supportive of his girlfriend. And, then a good chunk of the way in, Jess and Shane show up.
Shane, Jess's girlfriend.
Yeah. Jess shows up with his girlfriend, his kind of bimbo-y girlfriend. He's just, like, sitting there, kind of staring at Rory and, like, very pointedly putting his arm around Shane or making out with her whenever Rory's looking. Like, it's obviously a passive-aggressive deal. And this is just really distracting for Rory. She doesn't know how to deal with it. It's obviously upsetting her. Dean is trying to just tell her just to ignore him. And he's obviously upset about it too, but he's really just trying to get, you know, put forth the message of like, look, let's just pretend he's not there. Why are you letting him get to you, right? And so Jess is kind of back to his old kind of shitty teenager self of just obviously trying to get inside Rory and Dean's head. And
their collective head?
Yeah, their collective head. And so there's a whole thing where, you know, Lorelai's heel breaks and you are allowed an emergency break. There are regular breaks and you're allowed an emergency break. So she's like, okay, and Lorelai uses her emergency break, but it's so late. It's like really late in the contest. So Rory's worried she's going to fall over.
23 hours in.
Yeah, it's almost at the end of the contest. So Rory's worried that she's going to fall over. So she's like, okay, Dean, hold Rory up while I go get my shoe fixed. So she's, you know, using her emergency card to go get her shoe fixed and come back. And in that time, Jess, like, Rory and Dean start talking more, rather loudly, about, like, he's still staring at us.
Just ignore it.
Yeah, he's like, just ignore it, Rory. He's like, he's still staring at us. What is he doing? Why does he think it's going to get to me? And Jess overhears them. So he's like, hey, are you guys talking about me? And Rory's like, no, I'm not talking about you, whatever. And Jess says, like, okay, yeah, you should probably, you know, stop worrying about what I'm doing and pay attention to your boyfriend. And then Dean! And then Dean just says, you know what? She doesn't need to worry about that because I'm not her boyfriend anymore.
Yes, Dean!
And Rory's like, wait, what? And he's like, look, I've been trying to pretend this isn't a thing, but you obviously like each other. You've obviously been into him since you got here. I've been trying to pretend it's going to go away, and I'm sick of it. This is ridiculous. You know, you're not respecting me. You're not respecting our relationship. And, you know, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of just being treated this way, and I'm out. He's like, peace out, I'm leaving, you two can go ahead and be together, I'm sick of this shit. And he storms off, and I gotta say, it's the most I've liked Dean in the entire show.
No, it's weird, there was also a moment earlier in this episode where Dean was very likable, like, they just gave him a good last episode.
Yeah, in general, Dean was very likable in this episode, but we'll get to that in a minute. So he just breaks up with Rory and just peace out and walks out. It's fucking amazing. So, you know, Lorelai comes back, but Rory has already, like, stormed off to go cry in the bathroom or whatever.
She storms out to go cry at the lake.
Right, 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 because she goes to the lake and then she comes back.
Yeah, so
Rory storms off and she goes, and she's at the lake. The same lake, this like Jess Lake.
Yeah, the right? Jess Lake.
Yeah, it's just Jess Lake, apparently. So she's sitting there feeling sorry for herself, and Jess comes by and he's like, hey, look, Dean's a jerk, right? Yelling at you like that in front of everybody, making such a big scene about breaking up with you in front of everybody. That wasn't right. He shouldn't have done that. He's a jerk. Forget about him. And she says, like, no, honestly, you know, he was right. Everything he said was right. He was right about me. He was right about us. Or, well, at least he was right about me, you know? And Jess says, like, no, he was right about both of us. And so she says, so Rory asks, what are we going to do now? And Jess says, well, are you really seriously broken up with Dean for real this time? She says, yeah, I am. He says, okay, then I got something I got to go take care of. And he walks off. And that's the last we see of Jess. Yeah, and so then, yeah, Lorelai comes back, and she's wondering, where's Rory? What's going on? I thought I had my emergency card, and Rory's gone. And so then Kirk wins, and Rory comes back, and she's like, what happened? What happened? And then she sees Rory's really upset.
Yeah.
She says, oh, honey, what happened? And she hugs her daughter, and Rory starts crying. And then Kirk starts doing his victory lap around the gymnasium, waving the trophy around to the Rocky theme song.
And so it's just them holding each other.
Yeah, them holding each other and Rory sobbing in her mother's arms while Kirk runs around going, yay, I won! Oh, I laughed very hard.
You did.
So that's basically what happens in the episode. There's a couple little mini plots. Suki discovers that apparently Jackson wants to, like, pop out a ridiculous number of kids.
4 and 4.
Yeah, he wants to have 4 kids in 4 years, which sounds obscene. Just absurd.
And obscene.
And obscene. And so Lorelai says to Suki, wow, that sounds absurd. And Suki says, I know, right? But then when she tries to talk to Jackson about it, he misunderstands what Suki was saying and thinks that Lorelai is, like, trying to control their relationship. So there was kind of a weird little subplot there that didn't really go anywhere.
Yeah, they decided not to have 4 kids.
Yeah, they make up and, well, they decided they're going to talk about it privately and that's their deal and they make up and whatever. It was just there to fill some time. And then the other big one, well, there were 2 other big ones. There was also, we had a very brief Paris plot because the Franklin is getting its annual name check so that we can remember that it exists. It's come up once a season so far. So there's, you know, oh, we have to do a thing for the Franklin because it's the 75th anniversary issue. But then Jamie, the guy that Paris went on a date with back in DC, comes back and is super, super creepy.
Yeah.
And literally grabs her and won't let her go until she agrees to go out with him.
Yeah.
And is just generally kind of predatory and creepy. But whatever, I guess it's cool, even though he's obviously a stalker.
Yeah. He's intense, just like Paris.
He's intense, just like Paris, in a predatory way.
Yeah.
But she goes on a date with him, and apparently it goes really well, because suddenly she's in a really good mood and tells Rory and Madeline and Louise that, oh, we can start working on the anniversary issue next week. And then, like all great Paris plots, it, you know, drops into nothingness 20 minutes into the episode.
In time for a Lane plot!
Yeah, and so the Lane plot is that she wants to talk to Dave. She's worried that Dave doesn't like her back, so she keeps calling Dave and hanging up, which is a very mature thing to do.
I mean, she's 17.
Yeah.
She's not a very mature person.
No, she's sheltered in 17, for that matter. But then Dave shows up in the wee hours of the marathon to basically, you know, he's very upfront of like, hey, I figured we hadn't talked in a while and I missed you. And she's like, oh, you missed me. He's like, yeah, is that okay? She's like, oh my. And so, you know, Mrs. Lane swoops in and, you know, starts interrogating about who is boy. And Dave is a champ.
Dave is amazing.
Dave is a total champ, and he manages to sneak some coded messages into him talking about being a good Bible-worshipping dude, and basically just sneaks a coded message into Lane of, hey, meet me in 30 minutes on the church steps so that, you know, we can hang out without your mom watching.
But makes a good impression on Mrs. Kim by stealing all of her sandwiches, eating
her food, and, you know, yeah, generally making a good impression. So we just get further reinforcement that Dave is great.
Dave is great.
And I think that's basically what happened on Gilmore Girls. There was The Suki plot had a brief moment of sexual tension between Luke and Lorelai as they discussed how Luke and Lorelai both might be open to having kids in the future.
If they met the right person.
If they met the right person. And they looked at each other and quickly looked away. So we just had that little seed to remind us that's still a thing.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's pretty much the episode. What happened this week on Dragon Ball Z Kai?
You know, a lot happened and not a lot happened.
Yeah, that's accurate.
The strength, like, the plot of the plot was that Goku is fighting Android 19, the one who looks like a fat baby, who also has, you know, albinism,
or it could be vitiligo.
Is that the blood one?
No, vitiligo is like what Michael Jackson had.
Oh yes.
Anyway, what happened this week on Dragon Ball Z Kai?
Yeah. So anyway, Goku fights Android 19, and it becomes everyone comes in to see the fight except for Yajirobe, who can't fly, and Bulma, who has a baby
and can't fly,
But also hasn't trained as a fighter, so she's kind of got an excuse. But everyone else is watching Goku fight Android 19, and it looks like Goku's doing really well to most of the fighter. Like, most of them look and go, oh, Goku, he's so cool. Because he's going Super Saiyan, he's fighting super fast, and Android 19's definitely going down.
Yeah, because he's not ready for Super Saiyan Goku.
No. And that's one thing we learned, that they know about, like, the androids know about Goku because they've had drones watching him since he was a child, because that's definitely the best use of tiny drones to surveil people.
Vengeance, yeah.
Yeah. But they were not able to surveil Namek. Surveil? Is that a word?
Sure.
Sure. So they don't know he can go Super Saiyan. They haven't seen any of his training since he left Earth. And so they weren't ready for his power levels. But the thing is, he is out of breath. He's winded. They haven't even sucked his power levels yet. And he's you know, heaving. Piccolo is like, why is this? They haven't sucked his energy. Is he just sloppy because he's a Super Saiyan? And Gohan is obviously not saying something. And Gohan eventually comes out with the fact that when Trunks came all the way from the future just to give Goku heart virus medication, he didn't take the heart virus medication because he thought he was fine because he didn't see any signs of illness. And the heart virus illness pops in right as the androids come.
Do you want me to no-prize that, or do you want to ask it during questions?
Yeah, I'm going to ask it during questions.
Okay. Because I got a no prize for that.
Okay, you got a no prize for that. I'm curious which part, but I'll ask later. So he's an idiot, and he is now losing to Android 19. Android 19 is able, like, Android 19 feels no pain. Android 19 doesn't slow down. He's a robot. And so Goku just starts going down, and Android 19 is sucking his power. That's where the episode ends. Obviously, from a overarching plot standpoint, that's a lot, but at the same time, it's a really quick summary.
There were a lot of drawn out fight sequences in this episode that weren't necessarily interesting.
Yeah.
This was one where you could feel the animation budget stretching a little bit thin.
Yeah. No, they were obviously trying their best, but it was a lot of people punching each other without it changing their position that much. Goku is heaving from the beginning of the fight, so it's not like that kicks in. Mm-hmm. I mean, it kicks in more later, but an Android 19 is an android, so he doesn't change.
Okay. Do you want to have any questions for me?
Yeah, I've got a couple. So one of the big things in this episode was discussions of how the androids absorb energy. At one point, Yamcha is the worst and gaslights himself. I don't think that's a thing. But he's like, maybe they don't actually suck energy. They do. But what? Does absorbing someone's energy drop their power level permanently? Or just until they have a senzu bean?
I think the idea is that it doesn't drop their... No, not permanently. It's just that it drains their energy.
Okay, because right? It does drop your power level, but not permanently.
Yeah, your maximum power level is just, you know, how much energy you can pull together all at once.
Right.
But, it's just they drain... It drains his MP. That's basically just what it is.
I guess my second question then is, does releasing an energy attack drop your power level?
I mean,
because they're like the androids are able to absorb energy and power. Are these the same thing? Are they different words for the same thing? And does Goku get weaker every time he uses an energy attack?
There's a bit of debate on exactly how that functions. But basically, yeah, I mean, the longer a fight goes on, the lower people's power levels are going to go as they get tired, right?
Right.
And so it's the same basic function. Yeah, if you pump out 10 Kamehamehas, you're going to get tired.
Right.
Your power level is going to be lower. So I don't know how much codification there is for, like, your power level being, you know, a function of how much of your energy you can put into a single strike or whatever. But also, you know, we're devolving to the point where we're realizing that power levels aren't actually an accurate way of describing things.
Right. There is one other thing that happened that I forgot, so I'm just gonna... The last thing that happens is that Piccolo tries to stop Android 19 from sucking up Goku's energy, and he gets stopped by Android Hat Hat, who eyeball lasers him in the chest. So Piccolo is down.
Yes.
Well, why is Goku so stupid? Why does he figure that if he can't feel anything bad happening with his heart, maybe the kid who came from the future with good information isn't helpful? Like, he knows Trunks is Trunks. He's got some corroborating evidence. Mm-hmm. And he's willing to put 3 years of his life into training. I know it's not hard to convince Goku to do that, but he obviously gives Trunks' warning enough credence to do that. Why not take some heart medication?
So, okay. So, I can no prize this.
Okay, please. All right.
So, if I recall correctly, we can go back and check, but I'm pretty sure what Trunks specifically tells him is, here's the cure, take it at the first sign of symptoms.
And he hasn't had a sign of symptoms.
And he hasn't had any symptoms. Now, we know from Trunks' story that Goku, in Trunks' timeline, was dead of the heart virus before the androids arrived.
Yes.
So if it was that, oh, he succumbed to the heart virus and was the android's first victim, he wouldn't have gotten that wrong. His mother and Gohan would have both been around to tell him the true story, yeah. And they both were there when it happened. So obviously that's not the case.
Yeah.
So I think it is that since Goku knew the androids were coming, he trained even harder than he normally would have. He kept himself in better shape for longer. It took longer for the heart virus to take hold. So he never had any symptoms.
And it just happens to kick in.
I mean, that's for dramatic timing, right?
Yeah.
But the symptoms never started.
Right.
Because he was in better shape. And so that threw off the timeline.
Okay.
I think that's a pretty solid no prize.
Yeah.
Yes, it's kind of a stupid coincidence that they happened to kick in when the androids showed up, but as far as dumb coincidences in anime goes, that's not that bad.
No.
That's better than Ginyu's pod happening to be falling right next to Frieza's ship when Goku jumped across.
Yeah, no, I still question why Gohan didn't, like, mash it up in Goku's pudding, but, you know, whatever.
I mean, he was given specific instructions to take it at the first sign of symptoms. Maybe if you take it too early, if you take it early, it doesn't help or whatever, right. You know. They don't know how this weird future medicine works. They wanted to use as the doctor instructed.
Like, you're friends with a scientist who seems to be in the science of everything. Get a body scan, Goku. I want to
Goku should have gotten a CAT scan.
I want to put out a petition. It is to rename this podcast, Goku is a Bozo.
Goku is a Bozo.
Because this whole episode was Goku Bozo.
Yes, it was. But, you know, it...
Because, like, there's even a moment where Piccolo's like, probably shouldn't use energy attacks, Goku. Goku's like, yep, zap. It's like...
See, I think that actually... I thought that fit dramatically because the whole thing was that he saw that 19 absorbed his first attack.
Right.
And he was like, I probably shouldn't do that again. But he's heaving... He's desperate. He knows he's in a bad situation, so he wasn't thinking, and he started to fire one off again.
And then he stopped.
Yeah, and Piccolo shouts, Goku, you idiot, what are you doing? He goes, right, shit, and he just, like, shoots a little one off to the side, because he'd already gathered the energy, and then he just, like, starts shouting of, like, damn it, I'm screwed.
Hey, if we can get a change.org petition to make me watch Ruby, I can get one to change the name of this podcast. Goku is a Bozo.
I'm not going to argue with Goku being a Bozo. Are those all your questions?
Those are all my questions. What have you got for me?
Wow, we are going really fast this episode.
I know, it's a quick episode.
It is. Oh, you never ask me what I thought of this episode.
Yeah, no, I thought you were doing it in a weird order.
I
let you keep going.
I got excited about having a no prize, and so I pushed for questions. Okay,
and
sorry.
And I'll do it out of order.
No, ask me what I thought.
Grant, what did you think of this episode of Gilmore Girls?
I have to say, I really, really liked this episode of Gilmore Girls.
I know!
For most of the episode, like, okay, so the good chunk of the episode, it's a little silly, it's wacky, it's fun.
It's kind of like the Bracebridge Dinner Part 2.
Yeah.
Where it's like a lot of people in town's drama around a weird town event, and you get to see a lot of people interacting with each
other. Yeah, but not quite to the inflated degree that the Bracebridge Dinner was. So, you know, I didn't even mention at the beginning of the episode, we got a little bit of, like, fun Emily stuff.
Yeah.
Because we got some peak Emily snarking at Lorelai. It's a fun idea. Like, it's an actually fun event.
Yeah.
Thing that's like, oh, I could see how this could be a thing. And I have to say, it's an event they put together that's reasonable.
Yes.
They have scheduled breaks.
Yep.
so that people get 10-minute breaks. It's not a legitimate 24-hour dance marathon. They have clearly regimented rules. They even have emergency cards for if you need to take care of a quick emergency.
You get a health check beforehand. You get a
health check beforehand.
And so, they have a first aid tent.
Yeah, and this is like, I could see, because I was already writing down, like, you know, all of the, surely this can't be healthy, and then Taylor launches into this whole thing. I'm like, oh, wow, cool. So it was actually, like, well thought through in a way that the town stuff usually isn't.
Yeah.
Which was refreshing. And just I feel like every character was on point in this episode. Mm-hmm. Dean was charming for once.
Yeah, it Dean was really hasn't great.
Been charming in a long time. Arguably, he really never has been. But he's peak charming in this episode. Like when he's teasing Lane about being on the phone, and just generally like he's on his game, right? So you're like, it's smart because I'm kind of like, oh, okay, Dean's not so bad this episode. I'm into this.
It's like when they have a character who's going to die in a TV show, so they focus on them and give them a really good episode.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, Dean was a lot of fun. There was a moment that I didn't mention in my summary that was fucking beautiful, where Jess goes up to the sandwich tent. You know, Lane is giving him some lip at the sandwiches, like, right? Because Lane doesn't like
get this. Get out of my way.
Yeah, and
stop blocking the sandwiches.
Yeah, and so Jess is kind of giving Lane some lip back, and they're kind of throwing snark back and forth. And Mrs. Lane swoops in next to Jess, is like, who is this boy? What is he doing? He's hogging the sandwiches. Who are you? And Jess goes, Jess. And then they have a moment where they stare at each other, and then she just gives him the iron glare, and he breaks and goes, ma'am. And so just, Mrs. Kim is the only person who can break Jess's just, like, shitty exterior and just completely disarm him. Was hilarious. Dave is top-notch.
Dave is amazing.
Dave is top. I'm sold on Dave. Dave is absolutely top-notch. I felt like, you know, they haven't quite known what to do with Suki and Jackson lately.
Yeah.
And I thought this plot was a little better. It was still a little bit like, hey, they're here, now they're gone. But I like that Suki and Jackson are having a problem that is a more realistic married couple problem.
Even though they should have talked about kids before yes, they got married.
But it's definitely more realistic than Suki's redecorating the entire house because she's suddenly worried about Jackson's masculinity.
Yeah.
So I was really into that. It was just
And then they hit you.
Yeah, I was just like, okay, this is a fun episode. It's wacky. There's good humor. Okay, there's not really much of a through line, but that's okay. It's still fun. Yeah. You know, this will be a pretty good episode. And then I was not expecting Dean to drop the bomb like that. Like, I kind of figured, okay, Rory and Dean have got to break up soon.
Yeah.
But I was expecting more just, like, WB, like, I'm sorry. I have feelings for Jess. I know. We can't be together anymore, Rory. I understand. Like, I was expecting it to be that. Yeah. I was expecting Dawson's Creek. And then I got Dean. I got this glorious shining moment of Dean. And I never thought I would be so excited for Dean, right? I never thought I'd be this happy about Dean.
Yeah, enjoy this while it lasts.
I know. I know that he's going to go right back to being, you know, white toast Dean, right? He's going to go back to just being unseasoned mashed potatoes. But he dropped the bomb and it was beautiful. Like, I really wanted him to just, like, kick over a sign or something on the way out. Scream thug life as he's walking out. Just, like, Dean destroyed everything. And I don't know, I thought it was nice for a character who has pretty much just existed to be the boyfriend.
Yeah.
And in-universe, they've poked fun at that.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was Lorelai made a joke about him being a Ken doll.
Yeah.
Right? He's Spectator Ken, right? While he's sitting there watching. He's just kind of the boyfriend.
Yeah.
It's nice to see him get some self-respect.
Yeah.
And you can kind of, like, you don't think about it. I've always kind of figured Dean's just kind of clueless this whole time, right? Yeah. Like, obviously he had some suspicions about what was going on, but ever since, you know, they cleared things up at the beginning of the season, I just kind of figured Dean was kind of clueless.
Yeah.
But no, Dean's not clueless. Dean has known exactly what's going on. And he just needed to get some self-respect.
Well, and he just really didn't want that to be going on.
Yeah, he didn't want to be going on, but he needed to do what was right for him. And, you know, I made a Scott Pilgrim joke in my notes. I said, Dean has gained the power of self-respect. Right? Like, I wanted the big flaming purple katana to come out of his chest. Uh-huh. Like, that's a watershed moment for Dean. And I can see how that would be an even bigger moment if this was about a Dean show, right? Mm-hmm. So I thought it was nice to give us that humanizing moment for a character who's become kind of stock.
Well, and I liked on the other end, like, you're right, that Jess was back to being a crappy teenager again, making out with Shane, you know, just giving everybody lip. But I really did like how they characterized him at the end of the episode.
Absolutely.
Because just the moment where he says, okay, you like me? You know, like, he's like, you, like, I feel the same way. I've got to go deal with some stuff.
Yeah, no, and that could mean I'm going to go turn around and break up with Shane right now and let's go make out.
Yeah.
Or it could just mean, okay, let's take a moment to let this situation settle.
And either way, I respect it. Because, I mean, either, like, that definitely
either makes... Either way, he's better than Christopher.
Yeah, no, that makes him more mature than Christopher, who has sex with Lorelai before breaking up with his, you know, we find out, pregnant girlfriend.
Yeah, no, I think that I had a little bit of trouble getting a beat on Jess this episode.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I really liked that moment. And then that last scene was so fucking funny of just, cause like comparing, okay, so comparing it to the first time Rory and Dean broke up of just like, Rory, what happened? We broke up. And then just like Lorelai and Rory holding each other in the dark entryway of the house. And it's very just like, this tragic thing has happened. But I feel like the show is aware that we're sick of its shit at this point. And so the show is like, yes, Rory and Dean have finally broken up. We're done with this shit.
Here, put on the Rocky here theme. Here is your literal victory lap.
Yes, like we literally get just like Rory, like for one, just the juxtaposition of Rory having a horrible moment of her life while Kirk is running around celebrating is funny on the surface level, right? Yeah. And then you go a level deeper and it's like, okay, it's an interesting contrast to the first time they broke up. It was this quiet, somber moment, and now it's a kind of comedic moment.
Yeah.
But then you go that next level down, it's like, no, they know. Kirk is the audience in that scene. Kirk is the audience in that scene. And Kirk is aware, as we are, that something awesome just happened. And it's finally over. This thing that has felt like it's been happening for 24 hours straight, and you just want to fall over and collapse because you can't bear to deal with it any longer. Because it was fun when it started, and, you know, maybe it got a little boring in the middle, but then they did, like, the weird little runaround thing, I'll get to that, and it kind of got fun again, and you're like, okay, this is interesting. But by the end, you're just like, why is this still happening? How are these people still dancing? And it's finally over, and now we can celebrate because Rory and Dean broke up. And it's and I've been upfront. I'm neutral on Dean. It's not that I hate Dean, right? I'm sure that Dean's gonna do some shit, right? Because I know he's still gonna be a thing in the show for a while. I'm sure Dean's gonna do some bad shit coming up. Maybe I'll grow to hate Dean. At the moment, well, right now I like Dean. But in general, in the greater context of the show, I'm Dean neutral. I have nothing against Dean, but I'm so tired of their relationship. So I'm really glad we're finally moving on. About a season too late. Well, okay, not quite. About half a season too late. I'm just so excited. I'm trying to think if there's any... I mean, I'm frustrated that the Paris plot was, again, just like a weird little half-baked Paris plot.
Yeah.
I'm a little puzzled by the fact that the Franklin seems to only get mentioned once a season.
Yeah.
And Jamie creeps me out, and I'm a little upset that we're gonna get more of him, because he creeped me out.
Yeah.
But, no, overall, this was a really good episode of Gilmore Girls. This might be my favorite episode of the season so far. I know it's still early on, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd never ask me what I thought of this episode of Dragon Ball.
I didn't?
Nope.
Oh.
We can check the date, but no.
Yeah, I did. I didn't? Oh, okay. We're doing things in a really weird order
That's today. Why I was surprised you went to questions first.
I'm all kinds of fucked up today. Okay. What did you think of this week's Dragon Ball Z Kai?
I want to like it. They did, I really liked the tension and the mystery of, like, why is Goku falling apart? Is it, you know, did his energy get sucked and we didn't see it? Is it because he's sloppy when he goes Super Saiyan? What's going on here? I liked the tension of the fact that Gohan and Piccolo were the only ones to see it while the rest of the Z Fighters were pumped. But it came in the context of such a boring episode, mm-hmm. and it's the horror movie that would be interesting if the people were smart, but they're the kids who keep going in the basement and going, like, what about if I, like, you know, read this ancient evil book? Okay, you do that while I go to have sex in the woods. Like, they could have a cool version of it where he knows he's starting to get sick, but it's too late now and he needs to fight and aim it that way. That would be interesting. But they don't give us that emotional depth. Instead, it's Goku was, you know, it just, you know, prized it okay, but Goku is an idiot who didn't take his heart medication, and now he's gonna fall over dead and not save the world because he didn't think to take his heart medicine and he pushed himself too hard. Sorry, Earth, it was a good ride.
Yeah.
And so it's that frustrating contrast that Dragon Ball Z keeps giving me, that it gives me hints of things that are really interesting and really cool, mm-hmm. and with a couple rounds of edits could be amazing, in the context of cheap, crappy episodes.
Yeah, no, this was definitely a wasted opportunity of an episode.
Yeah. So that's what I thought this week. What questions do you have about Gilmore Girls?
Okay, I have actually more questions than usual about Gilmore Girls.
Bring it.
First thing, everybody, like, starts going nuts doing cartwheels and twirls and shit right at the beginning of the dance marathon. Wouldn't you want to save your energy? Why are people going crazy like that? There's no style points in this competition.
I think some of it, well, I think the first thing is a lot of people aren't doing this to win. They're doing it to get dressed up in, like, 1940s style clothes and have a fun dance date with their boyfriend. Like, it's a fun novelty thing, and if you go home at noon, you go home at noon, and you have a story to tell to your friends. So a lot of them are just having fun dancing. But for the people who are hardcore competitors, let's say, you know, Lorelai and Kirk seem to be the ones who are most in it to win it, they are definitely intimidating each other. Like, yeah, you see it later.
Yeah, no, you definitely got that later where they were trying to intimidate each other.
And then there's probably some people in the middle who are new to this and don't know how hard it will be on your body to do this. So I think that there are a lot of different reasons that people are going hard, but some of them just want to have fun, man. Just let them have their fun.
Okay. At one point, you get the vibe, like, maybe halfway through the competition or maybe a little further in. Taylor blows a horn, and then Lorelai says, oh no, it's the runaround, or whatever it's called. And then suddenly everyone has to run laps around the gym, and it's like musical chairs, where as soon as the music stops, the five couples that are at the back of the line are instantly eliminated. How do you know the difference between a break horn and a runaround horn?
You know, that's a great...
How does everybody suddenly know that you're supposed to start running around?
I think it's because Taylor immediately afterwards says, this is the runaround, guys.
But people were already lining up as he was explaining.
I think the people who are left at that stage have done this before.
But how do they know it's not just a normal break horn?
Because it's runaround time. Maybe an hour, like, it's like, you know, the seventh inning stretch where, you know, when...
No, that doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry. You don't get a no prize. No prize for you. In the last stretch of, in the last hour of the competition, Lorelai's heel breaks.
Yeah.
This begs two questions.
Oh, no, this begs a question that is asked every time anyone sees this episode. Ask the first one that's obvious.
Yeah, so why did she wear heels when she was going to need to be in them for 24 hours?
Because they were cute and Lorelai wasn't thinking. Like, this is the eternal question of this episode. I don't have even an attempt at an answer.
Okay. Second question, if it's seriously that close to the end of the competition...
Shouldn't she take her shoes
off? Just take off your shoes and do it barefoot.
Yeah, the only explanation I have there is that she is sleep deprived. Like, she is not making her best decisions.
That's true. She's sleep deprived. She's probably not thinking straight.
And she knows she still has the emergency card to get her heel to, you know, like, she would probably keep going if she needed to, but the answer she has here is that she has Luke. Luke probably has glue. She's got an emergency card. She's got a Dean. She's got this whole situation well in hand. But, you know, there's a question of how she's been dancing on high heels for 23 hours and her first immediate thought isn't get these things off of me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying that as someone who hates heels, but I think it's just because she could get a solution in place and she's not thinking straight.
Okay. So Dave shows up.
Dave shows up and
charms us all with his Adam Brody-ness. Ugh. But again, he shows up in like the last hour of the competition.
Are you asking why Dave was up at 5 a.m.
Why did Dave decide 5 a.m. was the time to roll around? And then he's saying, oh, my family's at church right now. Uh-huh. So is he trying to sell the fact that his family goes to church at 5 o'clock in the morning?
At this point, it is probably like 5:45, you know, almost 6. But
still,
a 6 a.m. mass or, you know, service would be very early. Some churches have sunrise services for Easter. But that's a special occasion. I can't answer the 6 a.m. church question. The only explanation I have is that Mrs. Kim, it's 5 a.m. for her too, and she's tired. And will buy this kind of excuse, but that's not really a great explanation. The reason I have for him coming at 5 a.m. is because he comes with a very specific purpose in mind. He wants to find out when, you know, Lane is getting off shift, and he wants to go rendezvous with Lane.
I guess that makes sense.
So this is a time where he can, you know, he knows where she's going to be. He has a good excuse for going because, you know, if she doesn't like him, he can be like, oh, I thought the dance marathon sounded weird and cool. Okay, bye forever now. And he can also find out when she's going to be gone and then meet up with her. So not only is he willing to, you know, make a good front for, like, make a good impression on her mom, go along with her weird coded stuff, tell her outright that he likes her, which she's not brave enough to do. He's willing to get up at 5 a.m. to come to tell this girl, like, from out of town, to come tell this girl he likes her. Dave Rogowski is the boy we all need.
He's pretty quality. I will be sad when the OC steals him away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see what bus he gets on to California.
Yeah.
Can you shine a light on Jess's motivations here? Because at this point in the season, his MO has pretty much been that, well, the last time we saw Jess was with the spigot, right?
Yeah, the spigot.
Yeah, so the last time we saw Jess, he was definitely from a mindset of, okay, I get it, I still care about you and I want to help you, but I'm not going to interfere with your Dean thing.
Yeah.
And now suddenly he's back to actively antagonizing them and, like, trying to break them up.
Yeah.
Is it that he saw a weakness and he went for it?
You know, there's not a good explanation. The only things that I've got is that, you know, maybe he just thinks he's been waiting too long and just is like, you know what, fine, I'm gonna, like, you know, I thought Rory liked me, we dealt with the spigot. There is one time he's seen her since, and she egged his car.
But he doesn't know that she egged his car.
Oh, they made it obvious. I mean, they were walking away and saying, oh, what a shame! Like, it was kind of obvious that she was the one who did it, and at the same time, like, she was getting angry at him for making out with Shane in the back of his car.
So okay.
He's had some mixed messages since the spigot, and it could be that he's just tired of waiting around. It once again, I would say the ordering is a little weird and sloppy, but I will also say, when you were a teenage boy, did you ever do anything crappy to a girl and then do something nice for a girl and then crappy for a girl? Or not you specifically, but teenage hormones, man.
I feel like with that degree of dedication, though, sitting around for 24 hours glare at her?
I think it was only like 14, but still, yeah.
Yeah, like that's an extreme level of dedication to shittiness, and I salute him.
Yeah, no. Moment of silence for Jess's 14 hours.
Yeah. Okay, I think those are all of my questions.
So, would you like to swap anybody?
Yes, I've got one right off the gate.
So
I want to swap, I want to swap Android 20.
Okay. And is that the Russian man?
Yeah. I want to swap Android 20 and okay. Mrs. Kim.
Okay.
Because that steel glare that she gave Jess that just completely broke his resolve. I want her to have that same glare when everyone's trying to go help Goku fight 19. And I think that, you know, even Piccolo wouldn't dare try to get past Mrs. Kim. And then at the same time, you know, Android 20 would just swoop in and laser eye any boy that tries to talk to Lane.
Yeah. I have one as well. Actually, I wrote it down for once while we were watching the episode.
Okay, who do you want to swap?
I want to swap Piccolo and Luke.
Okay.
I want to
It's a common one?
Yeah, no, it's a common one, but it's still, like, there's a reason. It holds up.
Oh, yeah, no.
It's an oldie but a goodie.
It's an oldie but a goodie. Explain to me how you will swap Piccolo and Luke.
A lot of what Piccolo did this episode is just stand around on the ground and talk about the ridiculousness of this fight that Goku is having. Like, he's weak, he's, you know, maybe he got siphoned of his power. Have you seen that he's getting sloppy? And just, I want to see Luke standing on the ground just like, you know, guys.
Guys, this is ridiculous. Look at him. Look how wide he's swinging. I mean, yeah, he can beat up the android. The android's just a big baby, a big robot baby or whatever. He's nothing. But look, Gohan, come on, look at this. You know, he's whooped our ass both worse than that.
It's all that coffee, man.
Too much coffee.
Too much coffee. And then meanwhile, I want to see Piccolo standing at the dance marathon just pointing out whenever, you know, like, yes, Luke, or yes, Kirk does look weak, but if you see there, Lorelai is using too much of her energy now. Her form is slipping, and she will be going down around hour 23.
Also, Lorelai's shoe broke.
Yeah.
And we have demonstrated Piccolo has the ability to generate articles of clothing.
That's true.
He could just do the clothes beam and then Lorelai would have a new shoe.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, no, it's perfect. It's great. Wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. All right.
You guys have been amazing listeners. Thanks for joining us for another week of Gilmore Ballsy. As always, we are on like all of the social medias, Facebook, Reddit, Twitter, all our Gilmore Ballsy. We are on basically all of your major podcasting formats. If there's one you'd rather see us on and we're not, let us know. But if we're on your podcast player of choice, give us a review or just give us a review on Facebook. We really love hearing from you. Thanks for listening and have a great week.
Yep, we'll see you next Saturday.
So, will Android 19 siphon all of Goku's energy? What will the 75th anniversary issue of The Franklin be about? And where does Kirk keep all his trophies? Find out next time on Gilmore Ballsy.